So the big question is this: how do passionate golfers like you and I develop a stock shot day in and day out? A stock shot that's as reliable as the sun coming up in the morning. That's the question, and this podcast is the answer. Welcome to Stock Shot Secrets. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Stock Shot Secrets. I got my boy Jermaine Kearse, Mr. Seattle Seahawk, which makes it amazing, on the show today. Jermaine, thanks so much for being here, bro.
Yeah, happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Jermaine and I kind of connected. Jermaine now owns, he's gone from dominating and winning Super Bowls with the Seahawks, being a... basically, is it a Washingtonian? I should know that, being from Washington. Is that what they call him?
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's call him Washingtonian. High school in Washington, college in Washington, played for Seattle, short stint with the Jets in Detroit, I think?
Yep.
Right? And then, but then decided avid golfer, and then opens a facility in Seattle called Evergreen, right? So, now you've had, we'll kind of talk a little bit of all, we can talk about business, we can talk about football, we can talk about golf, but what was that for you? We'll talk a little bit about golf to start. Like, what was the calling for you after leaving football, doing that and going, you know what, like, I want to get into this golf space and really kind of like help players?
Yeah. So, I mean, once I retired in 2019 and I spent some time just trying to figure out kind of what I wanted to do post football. I spent some time at the University of Washington, my alma mater, seeing if I wanted to kind of get on the other side of football and the coaching aspect or somewhat involved on that side. And
yep.
I spent some time doing that, and I enjoyed it. It was very time consuming, and I just kind of wanted to get into something that something new. A little bit, something that was going to continue to challenge me. And I was super passionate about the game of golf. And I was able to get connected with Andrew Putnam, a PGA Tour player, and kind of talk to him a little bit. And then he introduced me to my now business partner, Greg Bodine, who was at the time just finishing caddying up with Tony Finau.
Yep.
And who is now currently on Bryson DeChambeau's back right now. And so that kind of is just how it led up. I just kind of wanted to spend my time doing something I was passionate about. It's something that I enjoy doing on a daily basis.
So what's your handicap these days?
I'm down to like a little below a five. I think it's like a 4.7 right now.
Is that your lowest?
I think my lowest is maybe like a 3.9, like low fours. So it's the continuous
work. Didn't you kind of start playing golf later?
I started around like 2014, 2016 when I went to New Jersey, when I was playing for the Jets is kind of when I really started, really getting into it. Kind of, I would say my addiction to the game of golf kind of started.
Right. I went to the Seattle Seahawks, training camp. What was this? Maybe like 3 years ago. I think there's actually a podcast on that, on my observations from that, but I went to a training camp and there was the guys like in between, they were hitting wedges, you know, towards like the back fence towards Lake, was it Lake Washington, I guess.
Lake but Washington.
So,
yeah. Sometimes during the Bowen Classic, they'll bring out like a little floating green.
Nice. Did you ever get to hit?
Yeah, for sure. There, Fred Couples came out.
Did you hit the green?
It's hard to hold the green though. That's the problem. I hit the green.
Nice. Yeah. So kind of going a little bit in football, right? Because you're at a training facility now, with Evergreen and kind of, you guys got a lot of different things like lessons and fitness. It's an academy and building one and trying to do all that kind of stuff. But more so like as a player, what do you find to be, and I don't know how much thought you put into it, but how much correlation do you find between the training in football and the training in golf? Like the similarities, if you will, because I kind of have an opinion that they're actually all sports are very, very similar. But, what are some of those attributes that you had in football as training and reaching the highest level, right? Like this week that we're filming it, we're literally in draft week. So, I mean, there is guys like, like their highest high because it's kind of like they made it, right? Because once you get drafted and you're on a team, like you're there. Well, the journey's not over yet, but you get what I'm saying. So some of that training, how is that correlated over into being as a player in golf? Because you're playing tournament golf, right? You're trying to play some tournament golf.
Yeah, I just started playing tournament golf maybe like 2 years ago. And it's very comparable. I mean, like you said, it's very similar in terms of just, the time put in, whether it's, working on my golf fitness, that's a thing. A lot of
Right?
people would think
No, it is for
golf
sure.
fitness is a thing. It's a huge thing. Golf stamina is a huge thing.
Yep.
Just ultimately like working on your game and perfecting your craft.
And it's a different type in regards to that fitness. It's a different type of fitness. I mean, I was teaching Joey Galloway and like super fast, right? Like at the time, I think it's been shattered now, but it might not be. Like he had like the fastest 40 time, for a wide receiver for a while, but the dude's super fast, but it's like linear speed, right? It's not like this horizontal rotational speed, which is different. The dude, when you try to put him in position, it was like trying to bend a telephone pole, but it's a different type of fitness.
No, 100%. And you're just using different type of muscles. And I think that the difference, that I've learned with, translating from football and into golf is just, with football, you just naturally think overpower, and more so like have control, where like I've kind of learned with golf, is you kind of got to give up a little to get a little.
Yeah.
And in terms of like, just like with clubhead speed, like I can try and swing like as fast as I can, and it's just like never not getting the results that I want. But then as soon as I, feel like, the biggest thing is like, if I take a bigger backswing, I'm actually going to slow or swing it slower. And, to me, I'm like, okay, like let me just try to feel like I'm taking the club back, like a John Rahm type height. And next thing you know, my club head speed jumps by 4 miles per hour, and it's just very counterintuitive. It doesn't make sense to me. That's why I love this game, because it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I hear you. So with when because you did have a little, are you still doing assistant? Are you still doing some coaching at UW? Because I know last time,
No,
so you kind of dropped that. So,
yeah,
but
I just.
when you were with the Hawks and you guys and you were do the what was kind of if you can kind of I'm dating a little memory here because it's been I don't know what 3 4 years now, but if you kind of look through the regimen because I think for the players and the people that are listening to the podcast or on YouTube, like they're passionate golfers, right? They literally are you. Right. So you are the avatar, if you will, of the listener, besides the fact that you won a Super Bowl and you played in the NFL and an amazing human being and so on and so forth. But as a golfer, like they're you, right? How were your practices at the Hawks scheduled, right? Like not scheduled meaning like, hey, okay, so when you walked out of the VMAC, like what was the first thing you guys did as wide receivers? And then maybe the second thing, the third thing, and the fourth thing. Was there a schedule in which you guys went about your business that seemed like, okay, I know that it's kind of this and then this and then this and then this.
In terms of practice,
Yeah,
like our
just like,
practice.
hey, the first thing that you do was like in golf, it's the first thing that we do is we program, right? So it's like we're going to go in a mirror and we're going to check our grip and just make sure our fundamentals are good, right? And it's very slow reps, like kind of like walkthroughs, if you will. And then we'd
Yeah.
kind of go into block practice, which is like doing the same pattern and making sure it's perfect, and then random, and then compete. But
Yeah. Well, it's pretty similar in terms of just like our practice schedule. When we get out there, the first thing we do is get our bodies warm, and then we go into a walkthrough. So we're going over our game, our install, in a slow, like you said, like in a slow manner, like in terms of like checking your grip. We're checking our formations. We're checking our routes,
Yep.
looks against certain defenses, and then we go into
And would that
routes
be
on.
for you? Would that even be as a wide receiver? Would that be like just making sure you're doing your motion of running a route, like you're doing super slow, almost like Tai Chi, like making sure
Yeah.
your running form is good? I mean, it's like 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, I remember seeing Geno Smith literally like going like this and like he's just rehearsing slowly his pattern like 5 6 times. I was like, oh my gosh, that's like what we do in golf.
Yeah, we're rehearsing what, our routes look like compared to certain coverages. The QB is going through his reads slowly, the offensive line is going through their checks.
Yep.
And then we progress into like our routes on air, which is, I guess you would call like our block practice. That's where
Yep.
we're actually running our routes. We're getting
No
our timing.
defense.
No defense. It's just us and the QBs running our routes, just getting that timing and that chemistry going. And then after that, we start heading into, like our competitive aspects where in terms of like 1-on-1, 7-on-7.
And what would, in regards to how long, because I think there's some stipulations with the NFL and all that stuff, but how long are, when we're, because I want to continue on this, but how long is this practice, this on field at VMAC?
It's probably, with Pete,
3 hours?
around 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2,
you guys be doing like your block practice where you're running like the same route over and over and over and over again?
Probably 10 minutes.
10 minutes. And then you go into, and that would be our equivalent in the golf world of like, you know, your cone drill or like your noodle drill or like whatever, right? Obviously, you're a professional, so a professional football player. So that would be like, even a professional would be the same way where I might do a block practice, but I'm going to do it for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm not going to do it for an hour because I don't need to. I have inventory. I just need to recalibrate and make sure I'm reminding myself of what I did yesterday, right?
For sure.
And then after that, you would go into your random practice, and that would be, what were you saying with the random was?
Would be kind of like our 7-on-7, kind of start our one-on-one, starting to kind of head into a little more competitive.
Yep.
Where, you know, the environment is not as controlled, where now there's a lot of reactionary stuff.
Yeah. And then what would it end with?
And then we'll end with team periods.
Which
so
would,
that's be like game simulation.
Would Pete have you guys play for anything? Or was it just, were you guys all so competitive that just losing would piss you off enough?
Yeah, we were very competitive. So, I mean, we didn't really need anything on the line to kind of get us going. You know, being practicing against the Legion of Boom every practice, you know, you had enough motivation.
Hey, guys, I hope you are enjoying this episode of the Stock Shot Secrets podcast. If you are enjoying it, be sure to like this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you can always see when they are coming out. And most importantly, if you would be so kind to be able to share this podcast with other passionate golfers who are trying to get better and build stock shots, because it grows through you sharing it. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now back to Stock Shot Secrets. Right. With that Legion of Boom and like some of those players, who were some of the players that you have, you kind of have you had any golf buddies that you've helped, you know, bring them into the game with now that you've got this new amazing facility?
Cam Chancellor has gotten into golf pretty heavy. He started kind of getting out there. The bug kind of has got him. You know, Cliff Averill has gone out there to play a little bit of golf. Marcus Trufant, one of the OGs of the CRC, into the game. So, I took out, you know, Cam, KJ, Wright, you know, a couple guys, and you know, which is pretty cool because you're starting to see a lot of football players, kind of get into the game of golf, and they're starting to kind of see the enjoyment that everyone else who's already been playing golf has been.
Yeah, they're late to the party.
Yeah.
What about so playing at a really, really high level and playing in Super Bowls and so on and so forth. What about just some of the mental side, right? So like there's the technical side of like how you're practicing, but then what are some of the mental things that you had on the football field that you feel like now on the golf course there, it's actually eerily similar, right? Like some traits that you kind of were training for golf your whole life in a sense, but now, but it was on a football field, but they're the same.
Yeah, it's just the, you know, the next play mentality, really. It's kind of like the next play, the next shot type of mentality. You know, regardless of what just happened, you have to, you know, be prepared and mentally in it to perform the next task. And that's the, you know, very similar with golf. You know, you hit a good drive, you catch a good pass, you know, you got the next shot, you got the next play that's coming. And so you always kind of got to stay in it. Which I found very similar between golf and football and, you know, honestly, in sports in general, the mentality, especially playing at a high level, is, you know, very similar. You know, now the difference, the similarities between football and golf that I found, you know, is kind of like the in between periods. You know, with basketball, it's pretty continuous. Soccer is pretty continuous. With football, you know, you run a play. You got some time period in between the next play. You know, with golf, you hit a shot, you know, you're walking to your ball. So there's some time period in between each, you know, player and each shot. And so that's where the game, the mental game, I feel like is where you have to be the strongest, is because the time in between, you know, each start and stop period,
So there is, because in golf, if you play, like, the stats are essentially, if you play a five-hour round of golf, you're actually only hitting a ball, like hitting a ball for 1 minute. You're doing the act of golfing for 24 to 27 minutes, if you shoot even par, meaning like your routine and so on and so forth. But then there's 4.5 hours of mindlessness, like, you know, time in between shots. So that's interesting, because while I am, you know, obsessed with football and it's like my favorite viewing sport, and, you know, like my son and I are glued to the draft last night and just on Sundays and Saturdays. It's interesting. So you're saying on the football field, there is quite a bit of, we'll call, mental chatter in between these plays.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the average football play is 6 seconds.
Yeah.
So like you said, we're playing a game for, you know, three and a half hours.
So is it similar? What about when running a route? Like, is there mental chatter in regards to like a drop ball, or is it as reactionary as like the viewer would think?
I mean, the football is very reactionary. I'm just, you know, if you drop a pass, you know, from that point to the next play,
right?
You know, there is a mental chatter, because you kind of got to let that, you know, play go and be prepared to perform the next play.
Yeah.
It's always continuous, and is always a continuous mental battle. Even on the positives, you know, so you make a huge play, you got to have the composure to come
back.
You mean
like a big long pass down the right sideline, like in a Super Bowl, to kind of get your team to win a Super Bowl? Yeah. Like, oh, you would know that. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Talk.
You just kind of have to have the mental composure and poise to be able to, you know, bring yourself back into the moment, into the present, to be able to perform again. And that's what I kind of found very similar with golf. You know, you hit a good drive, you know, you got to mentally compose yourself and bring yourself back to be able to perform the next shot.
So with, and not to kind of put you on the spot, but a question, like at Evergreen, are you doing any, I know not technical teaching, like in coaching, but are you doing any coaching per se, like with any of the players at Evergreen, maybe just in the sport itself?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of our competitive juniors is mostly, I do just like a lot of support, a lot of, you know, mental, you know, support in terms of like how they're thinking in terms of prepping for a tournament, how are they, you know, post round tournaments, how are they feeling, like what's their mentality at? That's kind of where I usually, you know, in that area. It's just more so building relationships with juniors. I think that's the best area.
Do you find that there's some carryover from what Pete Carroll, or maybe, cause I think you played for Steve Sarkisian, right, at UW? Like, are there any carryovers of principles where you're doing it and you're like, this is like, you're talking about him and you're like, this is kind of like a Pete Carroll thing or like a Steve thing? Like
every single time. Yeah, you know, I just sit back.
What are some of those things that those nuggets that, like, when you look back at your time with Pete, you go, these, you know, two or three things really sum up my, you know, a Pete Carroll experience? Because he was a very sought after coach, like, at least from what you would read in the newspaper, like a very sought after coach to play for. Like, he seemed very much like a player's coach.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is always compete, you know, that's just like the number one thing that we kind of instilled in our culture at Evergreen, is just the culture of competition. The next thing would be just accountability. I think, you know, all the juniors that I've built relationships with know that I'm going to hold them accountable, to their word, to what they want to accomplish. And I think they really kind of enjoy that level of support, of knowing that I'm going to be there to encourage them, but also, you know, if I kind of got to get on them a little bit, like, I think they appreciate that too. So I think it's just like a healthy balance of being able to have the right amount of encouragement and support, but, you know, hold them accountable to what they want to achieve and what they tell me that they want to achieve. You know, if you tell me you want to do something,
I'm kind of asking this because as a coach and obviously a massive diehard Hawks fan, but when those things of accountability that the player would maybe misfire and they weren't doing that, was the reaction from Pete Carroll usually one of more encouragement, or was it more of a I don't know. I'm making a judgment. I've never met Nick Saban, but more of a Nick Saban type, like, hey, let me kind of get in your face a little bit.
I like to say especially with some of our younger juniors, I would describe it as sometimes I might have to put my parent voice on.
I got that one too.
You know, sometimes you got to give them the parent voice, you know, a little stern.
Yeah.
It's never over the top. It's encouragement, but it's also, you know, getting them to understand the realities of the type of level they want to achieve and
what's required,
how hard it is to get to it. It is required to tell them the truth. And how hard it is to get to that level. And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, a lot of kids want to do certain things. They want to reach certain levels. But sometimes they don't always want to do what's necessary to get there. And sometimes you just kind of got to get them, and they're young, you know, they don't know what we know, you know, as we get older and wiser. You know, I'm still continuing as I get older, I'm still continuing to learn a lot about myself and, you know, just growth. And so just trying to be able to just have that, be that person, that one that would tell them the truth, but also help them and show them, you know, the path of what it takes to actually reach a high level in something.
Absolutely. And one final question, just kind of reflecting back on your, two questions, actually. We'll do one past, one present. What, looking back at your goal, your playing football career, what's one of the more defining moments or like highlight reels that, like, you know, when you're laying in bed and you're like, that's a moment where you go, man, that was sweet. Like just a cool story.
Yeah. I mean, obviously winning the Super Bowl is kind of hard to beat, just like, you know, the team that we had and just that whole experience and then the fashion that we did it, was super cool. And then,
how hard, you know, was the mental adversity the next year? Because, I mean, we had talked about that in regards to that. Like, was that the highest of highs and the lowest of lows?
I mean, yeah, that is probably the best. You go from one winning the Super Bowl to possibly winning two to having it instantly just taken away.
Yeah.
Definitely be a dramatic feel for sure. But I think the Green Bay game, the NFC Championship game, you know, just the type of game that was, with all the adversity that came with it, and then being able to, you know, overcome that and have the perseverance to still come out on top.
Yep, absolutely. And then what about just for you, Jermaine, like in the future, is there anything you have coming up on the horizon that you're, you know, really looking forward to? I mean, you're now with Evergreen, what, you're in year two?
I think? Year two.
Year two. Yep. You know, is there anything in the future you're looking forward to?
Yeah, we're looking to expand a little bit, which is definitely on our plans, and being able to, you know, continue to create more spaces, and then just tournament golf. You know, I love competing, and you know, I kind of got a whole list of tournaments that I got scheduled for this year, and
awesome.
Just continue to put myself out there and try to get better and compete. You know, I have the goals to win, you know, that's the always the goal. And so you just continually to do the work to try to achieve that.
How often do you get to practice these days? Being a business owner and a dad, three kids, right? Three girls,
three kids. You know, I always try to find some time to practice on some sort of aspect of my game.
Yeah. Each day?
So, mostly every day.
Look at you. You overachiever. That's awesome.
Whether it's I gotta get up early, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Make time when you don't have any time.
Yeah.
Well, so, that's awesome, Jermaine. Well, thank you so much for sharing some stories. We wish you best of luck at Evergreen and everything else. If people want to, you know, follow you or know more about Evergreen, how would you like them to reach out and kind of just see Jermaine's story a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter, jkirsch15, and then you can follow Evergreen Golf Club on Instagram as well.
Cool. Well, best of luck in your tournaments, and thank you so much for being a guest on Stock Shot Secrets.
I appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Hey, guys, thank you so much for listening to the latest episode of Stock Shot Secrets. Now, as a listener of Stock Shot Secrets, I want to make sure that you have the opportunity to get better. So if you were to go to StockShotClub.com, I'm going to give you 7 days free access where you can send us your video and we will give you personalized individual attention as to what you need to do so that you can start building stock shots. So just go to StockShotClub.com and register there. We'll give you 7 days free where you can try it. And then if we like it, you can stay inside the Stock Shot Club where we can become your coach and walk with you for your entire journey. Thank you so much. And be sure to go visit StockShotClub.com.